Fire Radio. About to commence.
Good morning to our state, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:06 on a Tuesday morning. Looks like it's going to be a great day today. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We are streaming at KCNR1460.com. Turn on your computer. Follow us around. We're on your iPods. We're on your iPhones. You can't get away. Write to Linda at Linda@KCNR1460.com. And to make all this technology work is Bad Bob.
And good morning, Carl. As I was coming in on Highway 44, running a bit late, so it was a little bit hurried, but the mountains with a bit of snow and just absolute crystal clear air, love this time of year.
Well, you know, you don't look quite as lively this morning there, Bad Bob. What's going on?
Wait till the second cup kicks in.
All right. And speaking of kicking in, there she is, Linda Bott. She is always on. You know, I can't figure out how you can be perky every morning.
I had one of those late mornings, too, as you know, Carl. We drove several cars, but I just, you know, there's some mornings you wake up and think, how am I going to do this? And you know what? You just do. I feel really happy to be here, and my gosh, I love it when it's sunny out. It's going to be high today at 76, right now at 7:06 in the morning. A couple things I want to, of course, make announcements. We like to do that first thing in the morning. Got a couple emails. The VA Outpatient Clinic is joining with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health in celebrating National Women's Health Week. The National Women's Health Week is a nationwide initiative that calls attention to the importance of women's health, obviously. And the theme is, it's your time. So May 11th at the VA clinic, it's going to host a lunch, and it's called Lunch and Learn. That is going to be about the benefits of exercise and nutrition, overall health prevention, and the need, of course, for early intervention and some services for women veterans. It's going to be at the Reading VA Outpatient Clinic. That's on Hartnell. And the time is going to be from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. Just want to let you know that. It's also, hopefully, we're going to have somebody on. It's Motorcycle Safety Month. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next few days. And also, we want to remind you that Shasta County is honoring veterans. A Memorial Day service will be held from 11 to 11 a.m. May 30th at the Veterans Memorial Grove on the Reading Convention Center grounds. And the event is obviously open to the public and veterans groups. Friends and supporters will attend. You'll be able to lay a wreath at the Grove. And if you need information, call Bob Dunlap at 225-5846.
You know, the other thing, too, is that we're going to have the groundbreaking this month for the new VA home. And we're going to have Senator Johansson's going to be in here before that one more time. And we're going to be talking about that. Got some place to go tonight? You may want to go down to the city council, because the city council is going to be talking about a $2.3 million of general fund cuts. The agenda includes employee retirement benefits, ballot measure, the duties of city clerk, commercial businesses and public places, zoning change, etc., etc. The big thing, of course, is the money. We again have had another cut in our general funds. You know, yesterday we had the Shasta County Assessor Leslie Morgan on, and she was explaining, we know what's going on with the property taxes and so all the properties. So many properties have been reassessed, and how the taxes have dropped dramatically. Today at 7:30, we're having Barbara Albion from the State Board of Equalization, and she's going to be talking about taxes, because that's exactly what it is. It's the tax board. You know, the tax man cometh all the time. It seems like he used to come, like, you know, on April 15th. No, we're surrounded by him. Bassetti is in the Record Searchlight. Talks about, he says, we have a totally unsustainable retirement system now. And I know the unions don't think it's unsustainable, but we can't go on. And one initiative that's come up would require workers to pay a portion of their CalPERS pensions. Right now, Reading currently covers all the pension costs for the workers. And the city last year spent $4.3 million for the employee share for all the workers. That's going to be an interesting meeting tonight at the City Council Chambers. It's going to be at 6 p.m. today, of course, at the Council Chambers on Cyprus. Now, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to address two or three things before our guests start today. Ron Largent's also going to be on at 8 o'clock. He's a candidate for the Shasta County Assessor. We're going to talk about recent articles that we've been reading about the impact on marijuana on families in a way that you probably hadn't even thought of. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Make plans.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Are you on fire yet? Are you feeling it? It's 51 degrees out, 7:13 in the morning. 605-4567 is the hot line. Are you daring? Are you bold enough to call in this morning?
Yes.
You're not sizzling hot, yeah. Listen to KCNR 1460.
What are you drinking over there? I want some
of
that. What
ready.
Is it? Bob, find out what it is and give me some. Okay, Schwarzenegger, just when you think Arnold has rolled over and become a whipping post for the Dems, he stands up and he actually vetoes something and gives people back their individual rights. He bans smoking for parks. The bill author said it would reduce the litter and the wildfires, but of course that's just cover for taking away another right because this guy doesn't smoke. Anyway, so here's the headline. So, cigar-smoking Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed legislation Monday that would have banned smoking with the, on all the beaches, California state parks and beaches, saying the bill crossed the lines of government intrusion. Arnold, you're like 3 years too late. What about all those other bills they passed that intrudes on us? I mean, every time you turn around, something else. So anyway, but congratulations. We'll give you one bell ring, one little dingle, one little ringy-dingy for you, Arnold. Because at the same time, you just said, oh, okay, due to what happened off the Gulf Coast, we're not going to do any more drilling off California. Well, Arnold, you weren't going to drill off California anyway. So, but you used that one. Now, the question is, my big question is what did cause the explosion on the gas rig? I know you cannot believe the emails that I'm getting. You cannot believe the phone calls we get about Hugo Chavez and submarines and eco-terrorists going, oh, my God. The president, Barack Obama, said, hey, we're going to start looking at offshore oil drilling. And the next thing you know, an oil well goes up. And,
You
can't believe the emails. Chernobyl?
I think maybe it goes along with our territory, kind of what we do, that there are people who believe in conspiracies.
No.
Yes, we have had the contrail people on. We've had
It just because
aliens.
Well, yeah, food conspiracies.
Yes, and so
just because
if you think of the timing, not that I'm buying into the conspiratorial is the word of the day, conspiratorial theory. But
what are you drinking?
You better follow me. Catch up.
Okay.
Hey, let's go to the phone. Maybe James is kind of thinking of conspiratorial.
Hey, James, what do you think? You're on KCNR.
I don't know what to think about it, but I gotta tell you, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. That's all I gotta say. I mean, do I know? No. But it was interesting that instead of sending firefighters, they sent SWAT team members down there. So that tells me something.
Wow.
Do you send SWAT team members for an accident? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a president. I don't know how they do these things.
Well,
if you're in the military, you probably have a better idea than I do.
Well, how would the president know? It took him 10 days to take a look at it. Tell me that if, George Bush, if it had taken him 10 days to get down to New Orleans, to Louisiana to look at this. Are you telling me that he would not have been drugged through the streets, you know, by, you know, figuratively by all the press?
Oh, the double standard is well established by this point. I mean, we've already seen him lie to the teeth when it comes to the Arizona bill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm tired of even talking about it because it's just like an established fact at this point.
You know, and the thing about it is that people actually believe that the bill is written says it can stop anybody of color and beat them. I don't think it says that.
Well, the good news is that a lot fewer people are watching MSNBC these days, so there's fewer of them who are believing that stuff because there's fewer of them listening.
Is that station
still
on?
That particular outlet.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is that, and nobody seems to realize is that law pretty much goes along the same lines as federal laws, that if you're an alien here in this country, you've got to carry ID. And even the president has said things that are absolutely ludicrous. But then again, we're not surprised at that.
Well, he was lying, too. I'm amazed by someone. Most people, when they lie, they're trying to protect themselves or they're trying to hurt somebody else. That's generally the reason the people lie, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I've very seldom seen people who know they're being recorded say something and then deny it later on while being recorded that time as well. I mean, it's just kind of an interesting thing I've seen with this guy. I've never seen somebody who knows he's being recorded, says something, and then denies it later on while being recorded saying that as well. I mean, it's just me.
Welcome to the political world. You know?
And, you know, it's not like any of them are any better. I mean, they're all puppets to a certain degree.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, then when you see, you know, and the only thing that is a bright ray of hope for us is that every year or every other year we have elections and that we can start moving people out that don't quite believe the way we do. Anyway, James, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thanks, James.
Have a great day. Guys.
Thanks. And you know what else? Here, you know, this is, okay, it's in the arena. It is not too far off, but it's kind of, I just want to thank the Vietnam vet, the cops, for paying attention to the SUV that was parked in Times Square. And
I will say again,
and we're talking about conspiratorial theories, is that this is going to happen again, and we know that there's cells. We do know. We've heard about it. We're just not paying attention to it. This is, hello, how many more times do you have to be tapped on the side of the head to know that there are terrorists in our country that are planted, they're grown here, they become citizens?
This guy was an American citizen.
I
mean that. But they didn't have his name anywhere, and yet he went to Pakistan for 5 months this past year.
But my point was, is people need to pay attention. And unfortunately, that is where in our world before, where we have possibly wanted to, you know, smell the roses. I mean, there's like smell the roses, but look to your left and look to your right, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? The days of
get your face out of the text.
Being, you know, unaware of what's going on around you
right.
is gone.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you have to live in fear. No, never live in fear.
Right.
But just be aware of what's going on around you. And you know what? You see people, like they had an incident here in town, which I don't like, of five men jumping out of a car and beating another one with lead pipes and baseball bats. I tell you what, people, got to be aware of what's going on. The fact that probably they all had something that they knew each other, I would probably be really surprised if you find out later on that they all weren't connected somehow, and the term meth wasn't being used. But you, my friends, my fellow citizens, you know, the good people of Reading, which is the vast majority of you.
And the North State.
It doesn't mean that you just aren't aware of the other things going on around you.
But congratulations to, you know, this could have been a horrific situation. And the reality is that if you look at some of the pictures as they come across the internet and on the screens, you'll see that people are standing around looking.
Hundreds of people.
Looking. At the SUV, like maybe 10 feet away.
Oh, look, it's
and
burning.
The thing is that could have exploded and killed hundreds of people
It was a Vietnam vet who was a street vendor there who went to a police. He knows the police around. He says he might want to take a look at that. Then the policeman came, took a look at it, and he knew immediately, oh, this isn't right. And, you know, the thing is that the guy had not... He had made a mistake. He had made, like, two mistakes, maybe even a third one. But the point was he was trying really hard to kill a lot of people. We got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here in KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. You know, we've talked, bombing. You know, luckily they didn't know what they were doing.
Currently 7:26 in the morning. If you're just tuning in, it's going to be high today. The temperature is going to be sunny and high of about 76. It's currently 52 degrees. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. By the way, if you want to discover our favorite destination getaway and you want to go take your mom or your sweetheart out to a fabulous brunch or a dinner, you better make your reservations now. Go to Anselmo Vineyards website, or go to our website, which is KCNR1460, and you'll see the weather icon. Click it on. Make your reservations. Sunday's already booked up till 3, but you've got Sunday night, you've got Saturday night, and Friday night. So
it's Mother's Day weekend, guys. This is a chance to take mom and your beautiful bride who has had your children.
Right.
It takes, you know what? Don't miss out. Trust me. Do not miss out on this. All right.
Oh, you got something, you're squirming over there.
Well, you know, we're talking about marijuana, and I believe we're going to have something Friday at Tobacco and Brew with, you know, some of the marijuana, because it's consortiums from around town here.
It's going to be a heated panel, so you don't want to come out.
We're working it for this Friday, but there was an article about some people up in Hayfork that, you know, sight unseen, the guy buys 2 acres of land up there, clears it of beautiful trees for one reason, it's to grow marijuana. Now, here's the problem. It's not the fact that if you want to use marijuana for your own use, I don't care. Put it in your system, smoke it, drink it, bathe in it. That's fine, as long as I don't have to pay for your life decisions at some point in the future. But it's impacting on people when, you know, they're cutting down trees, they're putting marijuana plants right up their property line, then all of a sudden there's dogs and people walking around with guns. There's something wrong here. You know, the counties have got to take a look at what's going on out there, and let's start putting some pretty strict rules on what people can do. And we're going to talk more about that as we get some of the people that does affect. We're going to have them on the show. Now, there's one other person I want to talk about. His name's Jim Roche. He's a retired chief warrant officer in the Army, Vietnam vet, lost his leg after the war, even though he was wounded severely in the war. 2 Silver Stars, numerous air medals. He's a hero for this country. And he's not doing real well right now down in Texas, and I just wanted to tell him that I admire him, I respect him. You know, the fact that he's my cousin is, if I had not even known him and I'd read his record, you know, he's one of the heroes out there, one of those unsung heroes. And I just want to give him a shout out, and I hope you're feeling better today, Jim. And I hope you're listening to this. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, our guest for this segment, Barbara Howey, who is from the California State Board of Equalization.
I'm going to give you a little bit of an American success story at this wonderful woman that's graced us by her presence this morning. We're so glad. Again, we are a voice for the people, and part of what Carl and I do is very much try to inform people, educate people about who's running for office, what they've done, who they're about. And I want to tell a little bit about who you are to our listeners this morning. Barbara Albee is truly an American success story. At one time, a welfare mom and domestic violence victim. Today, she's an acting board member of the State Board of Equalization's 2nd District. As a successful businesswoman, the Republican leader, she understands the importance of fair and just administration of tax policy. She has proven record as tireless advocate for the taxpayer business community. The defining moment in Barbara's life is the day that Governor Ronald Reagan cut her welfare benefits. And one of the greatest achievements, I would say, I'm sure there's many things, probably so many things I can't even mention here in this little bit, is that you are the author of Megan's Law.
I am. I'm glad you said one of my proudest achievements. I served in the 90s in the assembly, termed out in 98, and I look back on it, everything I've done, that is my high watermark, I think. I'm very proud of that. And, you know, I travel all over the state I love speaking in public forums, even without being a candidate. I do leadership training. I do a lot of things out there because I really like the people contact. And I talk about Megan's Law wherever I go and what I did with that. And plus, I had a domestic violence law that was a landmark legislation in intervention in domestic violence. And women, and even policemen, women, always come up to me from the audience and say, you know what, Barbara, I got to tell you, you did something great, and this is what happened to me, and this is how this helped. And it's just very seldom. I mean, tax policy is wonderful, and I'm totally committed to protecting taxpayers, but you just helping people like that is just, it's a great, great work.
Well, it's amazing, the pebble.
Yes.
The ripple effect.
Yes.
And thank you for your energy in doing something that really was altered. It altered the country's awareness. Let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about who you are. How about if we go into a little personal story about where you were raised and your family life and a little bit about your political career before we go on to the current state of what's happening.
Well, I was raised in Sacramento. I was born in Chicago, the Windy City, and here I am in politics. But I was born in Chicago, and my parents moved here when I was just a baby, and I grew up in Sacramento for most of my life until I married my husband, Dennis, in 1968, 42 years ago. He's with me today. And we moved back to Wisconsin, where he was from, for a few years, and then back we had a child who was ill, and we had to come back to California for various things. So we moved back, and I've stayed in Sacramento. But I come up here. I love it up here in Redding. It's God's country up here. The people are just amazing. So anyways, I digress.
We agree.
I got involved in politics when I was selling real estate. My kids have grown. I have five children. Number four was going off to school. Wasn't expecting number five to come along, but get little surprises in life. Number four had gone off to school, and I thought I'd need to do something. I was always an at-home mom, and I started selling real estate. And one of my client's daughters ended up in a very bad situation. She was 11 years old, and the school kind of secreted her off, and she was able to get an abortion behind her mom's back at that time. Now, whether you like that, dividing yourself as pro-choice, pro-life, most people say moms ought to be involved in that kind of decision for their children. So anyway, my client's daughter ended up, she didn't know a thing about it. She thought she was at school. She ended up almost losing her life, and it's at that point that mom found out about it.
11 years old.
11 years old. Ended up, took a long time for her to recover, and I was just appalled that someone could, that they could do that. I had no idea that could happen. So that's where I got interested. I thought that wasn't right, and I started going down to the Capitol and talking to legislators. Trying to talk to legislators about it. I thought, this isn't right, and I couldn't get in the door because I saw the, you know, all the organized lobbyists and those, the feminist movement was always there, and the NOW people and all that. They always got in to see the legislator, and I couldn't. I was Mrs. Nobody. And so this is kind of a secret, I guess. I'm going to tell secrets today. I decided, you know, if they thought I was somebody, they'd see me. So I thought, I'm a professional woman. I'll name myself the Professional Women's Alliance.
All right. right.
And I went to the printer, and I printed up cards for myself. I got a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 961.
I love that.
And
that's a woman who gets things done.
Right. I had an office, and I started to lobby, started to knock on doors, as just volunteering as a representative of Professional Women's Alliance. And I did that I would drop my clients off when they were done looking at property. I'd skirt down to the Capitol. I had no idea how a bill became a law, but I learned about the process. And
sounds like chutzpah.
Yeah, chutzpah. So what happened was a certain senator who shall remain nameless called me in one day and said, Barbara, I want to sponsor a bill for parental rights, and I would like the Professional Women's Alliance to be my sponsor. You think they'd do it? Well, you think I could decline? I said, of course they would. And that's what started me off. And then I became real legit. I started my own organization, and it's all history from there. And then I decided to run for office, and the political structures did not like me running for office. I was truly an outsider. I didn't come from the financial community or anything like that. I came from the grassroots, and I had a passion for what I believed in, and I wasn't welcome. So it took me a few times, but I did get finally to the assembly.
Well, it sounds like, you know, and I'm sure many of our listeners, and I'm probably going out on the limb by saying this, but, you know, God put you in places to do great things if you listen. And that was
it. We all can do it.
Absolutely. We've got to take a break here. Wow, you don't want to miss this upcoming information that you're going to have. We've got Barbara Albee with us today. And this is Carla Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show brought to you by the Backroom Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Find us walk in the Backroom Emporium in the North State. Espresso Joe's coffee that you want and that they'll fix at any way you want it. And then, you know, take your computer, go next door, go into the little conference room, or the big conference room there, which got Wi-Fi, and you can drink your drink, get on the computer, surf and sip, as I like to call it. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley are great Americans. I tell you what, they support this community in so many ways. Barbara.
Yes.
Just what the heck is a state excise board?
No, it's State Board of Equalization.
Board of Equalization. I'm looking down here at my notes when I'm going excise here.
No, well, you know, it's a good question. Lots of people don't know what that is. My opponents don't have any idea what it is.
And the big thing is that I don't know if other people realize this, but California has got the only elected tax board in the nation.
Correct. Other states have appointed tax boards. What the Board of Equalization is, it is California's tax board, and we are the only elected board in the country. And there are five members of the board. There's four that are elected from various districts. My district runs from the Oregon border down to San Bernardino. It's huge geographically. There are three other districts. One runs along the coast, and then there are two more Southern California districts. And then the fifth vote on the board is the state controller. So five votes, three are Democrats, two are Republicans, of which I'm one of the Republicans. And what we basically do fast, this is the thumbnail, and people shouldn't feel bad, I don't know. You're one. Just remember this, you're one audit away of knowing what the Board of Equalization is. I always tell people that. We get calls all the time to the office, people saying, can you help me with my civil rights? Because they don't know either, and they see equalization, and they think that's what this is about. But basically, here's what we do. If you have a problem with your income tax audit, and you don't agree with your auditor, you come to us. And after you go through the process, when you come to the board, you're going to need three of the five votes to get your appeal heard and not have to give more of your money. If you have a sales tax audit, and you don't agree with your auditor, you come to us. We also administer all of the state sales taxes. We manage its collection. We collect it. We administer and audit all of the special. There's about three dozen plus special taxes and fees in California. We oversee that. The biggie that we do, two of them, two biggies. I mean, the other two are very big, but these two things are, people should listen up. When the legislature passes a tax or a fee increase, what they basically are doing is passing what you would call enabling legislation. They don't have the teeth in it. They say, this is what we want to do. It's a statute that says, we want to raise taxes on this, that, this, that. It's enabling legislation to allow the taxes to be raised. That legislation, after it's signed by the governor, it comes to the Board of Equalization. We write the rules for that tax increase, that fee increase. And in our board, it's not uncommon for the liberals, especially at this time when they want more and more of your money, to try to reach further into your pocket than the legislature intended when we write the rules.
Can you give an example of that?
Oh, goodness. I. Let's see. I can't right now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on
That's
the
all right. I'm just trying
there,
to think what we just did recently.
Well, you know, the part here that I did not know about was the fact is I thought when they did a bill to raise our taxes or raise fees, they did that. And you all just enforced it, but that's not true.
We actually write the rules.
You write what they want in it. Yeah. And you can add, or like you said, it can be added or
you want
an
onerous penalty. We could put onerous penalties on there if you're late. And I mean, there's lots of ways to get more of your money. I guess that's the kind of thing he's talking about, examples.
Yeah.
If I thought you meant a particular...
No. It'd be things like, I just looked through the list. And if you haven't looked through the Board of Equalization website, my friend,
it's a trip.
Go do it. Because I'm just looking at electronic waste recycling fees, ballast water management fees, alternative cigarette tax stamp, which goes on top of the other cigarettes.
Right.
In this group here, hazardous waste facility fee, hazardous waste disposal fee, hazardous waste generator fee, and hazardous waste activity fee.
Well, those are the things the legislature's given us, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I know.
The tip of the iceberg. There's tons of them, and we actually write rules for those things. And we could reach further into your pocket if we so desire. The other thing that we do that's extremely important to businesses and residents here is once a year, and we're going to do this in May, we hear the assessment, and then in November, we do the appeals. We also assess once a year all of the state's telecommunication, railroads, public private utilities, PG&E, for instance. Is that PG&E country here?
Well, yes,
partially,
it is.
But Redding's got its own electric facility here, but PG&E is on the outskirts of the town. It's just for the town.
Okay. What we do is once a year, and these guys do not have Prop 13 protections, once a year with three votes, we set their appraisal, their assessment, what they're worth. And consequently, then their taxes that they have to pay to the state are geared towards what we've said they're worth. The board, with three votes, can actually raise the value of those utilities millions upon millions of dollars because there's no Prop 13 protections. So you have to make sure who your member is, because if your utility bill goes sky high, guess what happens to your rates?
Yeah, guess who's going to be paying it, because they don't.
It's all about you. Your money.
Well,
so
how many times you get a 3-2 vote?
Most of the time, oftentimes 3-2.
Yeah.
But I have one thing I've been able to do, and I did this in the legislature. When I passed Megan's Law in the legislature, I did it in a minority. Republicans were the minority, just like they are now. I'm very good, I must say, at crossing the aisle. I know it's not just about us. It's about bringing enough people over to build consensus to get what you need done. I did that in the legislature, and I do that on the board. And it's much more nuanced on the board. In the legislature, for instance, in my assembly, when I was in the assembly, I had 80 members to deal with. And I could, it gives you a little bit better choices. You could go, this guy doesn't like you to join you on this bill, but maybe this one will. In the Board of Equalization, you only have 5 members. So you have few choices, so you very much need that ability to build those relationships across the aisle, and I've done a very good job of that.
We're talking to Barbara Albee right now, who is running for State Board of Equalization, District 2, in the Republican primary. If you have calls, please call 605-4567. And Barbara, the reason that I read part of your bio and introduced you the way that I did is because I love for listeners to hear, here's a true American success story, somebody who may have been in life and felt like they've been kicked around, and what do? You grab yourself up by the bootstraps, and you get out there, and you have that entrepreneurial spirit, and you go for it.
Yes.
Instead of being the victim, you can change your road.
Correct. Especially in this country. It's America. I mean, we're not living in the Soviet Union or Poland today. I mean, we have the greatest opportunities. And I know, I remember when we were doing welfare cuts on the assembly floor, It was a 94. It was the only year that we had the majority in the assembly. And we were cutting benefits to welfare recipients, which frankly was a little difficult for me because I've been there. I walked in those shoes. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, which were the Democrats, were saying, you know, they're up on their feet and they were saying, Republicans have no idea what it's like to be poor. Republicans want to take milk out of babies' mouths. And our guys in my caucus, I always say Republican guys are very cerebral. They always want to talk from the checkbook, the balance sheet, and this and that. And they're up there losing the battle rhetorically because they're talking about bottom lines. And here the Dems are talking about human stuff.
Yeah, talking about babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, before I knew what I was doing, I was on my feet. And I had never talked about this before. I'd gone through many, you know, three bruising primaries and general elections to get there. And this was my speech. I said, you know, I've been sitting here today listening to my colleagues say that Republicans don't know what it's like to be poor. I want all of you to know this Republican woman knows what it's like to be poor. I was a welfare mom. And my defining moment was when a guy by the name of Ronald Reagan became governor of this state. And within a few months, he cut my benefits. I didn't like him very much then, but I love him today because it was his tough love and Republican policies that took this woman from the poorhouse to the state house, where I can tell you, compassion would not have been a bigger handout, because a bigger handout would have kept me in my place. It made me look at my daughter, my little girl, and say, Mommy's got to make some new choices. And I did. And people out there today, we're living in an era that people are really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They can turn their circumstances around. They can.
Well, I'm sure that we want to have you come back to Reading. We have to take a break, unfortunately, doggone it. But, we have some more. We have a call on the other line. We want you to come back to Reading. We want you to speak to us. I mean, we really want to. I'm sure so many people are going to be calling you today. So please come to our event and speak. But we've got to take a break here. This is Carla Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. Barbara Albee is our guest. This is KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, it's Carl and Linda Bott.
Love that bump music.
Yeah, hey, our guest is Barbara Albee, who is running for re-election for the...
Well, I've never been elected to the board. I'm just the acting member since March.
Okay. Oh,
two months
sorry.
Ago. My boss, I served my boss. I was the chief deputy to Bill Leonard, your member that you elected at right. Reading in 2002, and I've been his chief deputy. And he moved to the governor's office in the cabinet
right.
last March, this 2 months.
Oh, so this is the first time you're running.
Right, this first time. But the Constitution says if the member that you've elected, for some reason, can't fulfill their duties, they go to heaven or they go somewhere else,
Yeah. Then
the chief deputy automatically ascends to the seat.
Okay.
So I'm acting member right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so you're just trying to make it official.
Right.
Okay,
right.
We need to vote you in officially. 54 degrees right now if you're just tuning in. The time is 7:55. It's going to be high today at 78. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. The lines are backed up.
Let's go to Roberta, line one. Roberta, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda and Barbara.
Good morning.
I'm just calling to say that Barbara was the one that taught me a lot. And I even got to walk precincts for her in her assembly race in Sacramento with Donna. But anyway, up here she started our Shasta County Republican Assembly. And because of that, then she came up and told us how we could run for central committee. So I always blame Barbara.
You have a life sentence.
Yeah, of being involved in politics. But anyway, she's been a good friend and an inspiration, and I'm glad you guys have her on today.
You know what? We want to have everybody that's running to have on. But, you know, this was a really, you know, if I can say this, what a nice surprise this is.
Yes, very much so.
Okay,
thank you,
Roberta.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, Donna, you're on line four. Donna,
good morning, Donna.
You're on KCNR.
Oh, good morning, and I wanted to welcome Barbara Albee to Reading and thank her for the help that she gave to me. 25 years ago, I took her lobby training.
Bless your heart.
She helped me find my way around the Capitol, and we had a great time, and I benefited from that. I've been able to pass information on to other people. I ended up running for school board, and she was one of the great ones in my life that has helped me get involved and make a difference.
Well, you know what, Donna? You know, thank you so much, and I know that Barbara.
I, this is so precious. I'm guessing people out there think we arranged this, but we didn't.
Yeah. No. We have a lot of people listen. And,
bless your heart, Donna.
Okay, hope to see you tonight, Barbara.
Yep, I'm going to be at somewhere tonight.
Okay, thank you very much, Donna. Now, you're up here to give a speech, I believe, or talking to people.
Yes, I'm going over to do a business fair with the state controller right after this program. Tonight, can I say where I'm going to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Tonight, I'm going to be at the Bostonian Tea Party Gathering, which is at Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop.
That's right.
That starts at 6.
That's a great place. And that starts at 6 o'clock.
You want to be there and meet Barbara up close and personal because she's a spectacular woman. You can tell that, Barbara, I just get this great sense of the fact that you inspire, you speak your mind, your truth, you put your passion in your life, your life's work. Is evident.
I appreciate
just by
that,
you coming
Linda.
Here and we have the great pleasure of meeting you today. And your website?
Go to barbaraalby.com, www.barbaraalby, and it's Barbara, not like Barbara Streisand. It's B-A-R-B-A-R-A. And then another A, L, B as in boy, Y, barbaraalby.com.
And if you have problems with that name, you just go to the State Board of Equalization, and your photo's right there.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if anybody has any tax issues they want some help on, you know, any questions, I'm still representing you, so I got to remember that.
Well, that's
call our office. The staff will help you at 916-445-2181.
And there's actually there's ways that you can even get a simplified tax legislation. You know, it's put in English for the rest of us. And, but. Barbara, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been great being with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Barbara.
You know, next hour, speaking of the State Board of Equalization and taxes, Ron Large is going to be our guest in the next hour, who's running for the Shasta County assessor recorder position. So that should be interesting, too. You know, the fact is that people say, how can they tax us? Well, guess what? I looked it up in the California Constitution, and you know what? There it is, my friends. There it is. Carl on the Nabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:06 on Tuesday morning. And welcome back. Our guest for the last half hour was Barbara Alby from the State Board of Equalization, the only elected tax board in the nation. And she's running. She was appointed, of course, to take the place of the original representative from our district. And then she's been doing that for a few months, and now she is running for election at this point. She'll be down at Tobacco and Brew tonight at 6 p.m. Of course, also at 6 p.m. is the City Hall, who is they're going to be talking about that $2.4 million cut in general fund revenue and what they're going to do. That's going to be a contentious issue, so you may want to go down and see that. Watch our board, our city council in action. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens. Cypress Square Barbershop is just that. It's not a styling salon. It's not a place to have your fingers done or your toes, done. It doesn't have hair gel. It doesn't have hair dryers. But what it does have is three really competent barbers who know how to cut hair. They give you a great haircut at great prices. And you know what? You're not going to see, and I don't want to sound sexist here, but you're not going to find Oprah Winfrey anywhere in the shop on the TV or any of the other shows, the soap operas. This is Man's Last Stronghold. Just look at the sign on the window. That Cypress Square Barbershop. I'd go to it, and I recommend it. Okay, let's, our guest today is, how appropriate, I guess I should say, is that we had the State Board of Equalization there, and then who oversee, of course, the taxation of the state, but they also oversee the county assessors. So, and our guest today is Ron Largent, who is running.
Good morning.
The Shasta County Assessor Recorder position.
It's good to be here, Carl. It was great to hear Barbara. We obviously share a lot of interests and similar interests and backgrounds. We kind of look at the whole property of the whole subject of property taxation from the same point of view. And of course, as we'll probably get into, the State Board of Equalization is a huge player in the whole property assessment picture. The law starts there at the legislature and comes working down through them and then filters down to the county. And it's the procedures and processes that are put together by the State Board of Equalization that influence the day-to-day work of the county assessor's office to a great degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the phones here. Gary, you're on line one. Gary. Hey, Gary, you're on KCNR. Okay, hey, Gary, you're going to have to call back the phone lines. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Gary's on two. Gary.
Yeah, good morning.
Okay, Gary, sorry.
Good morning, Ron. I called in. Probably should have waited late in the hour. Ron, forgive me for interrupting you. But I...
We're looking for Gary.
Pardon?
Yeah, this is Gary.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about very quickly about the city council meeting coming up tonight. The budget issue will be there.
Yeah.
There's a public facilities district issue that's going to be coming up, which involves the hotel at Turtle Bay. There's also going to be the issue of allowing the city manager to appoint an administrative clerk who will oversee the elections and the Free Political Practices Act. So there's a lot of things on the agenda tonight, and the folks might be well served to come and watch, listen, and put their comments into what's going on.
Well, you know, Gary, I thought the city clerk thing was, they're talking about appointing them instead of an election?
Yeah, well, see, what they've done, they've bifurcated, or they have two separate positions. One is administrative, one is elected. The elected makes $600 a month. The administrative will make the salary that a clerk would make. But under the staff report, the city manager will appoint the administrative clerk, and then that administrative clerk will administer the elections, the filing process, the elections, and also the Fair Public Practices Act. And if the city manager can appoint someone, the city manager can remove someone. So that means that administrative clerk is going to be under the guise of the city manager, doing what the city manager wants to have done. Last evening we had quite a meeting at the local Tea Party. The Tea Party Patriots had quite a big crowd, and we talked about the issue in depth. And I have talked with three former Reading city clerks, and they've told me that they're really not in favor of what's going on. We had one of them was on last night by phone talking to us, and I think the people need to be aware of what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, after all the stuff that we've worked on, to have an elected city clerk, this is a power grab by the city staff. And we need to be standing up and standing our ground. And it's time, you know, Obama's doing it nationally, and we've got it going on right here in our city.
Yeah, you know, we've got to maintain as much power as we possibly can as the citizens of this county and this city. And to keep giving it up or having it taken away by staff is not my idea of a way to do business. I mean, staff, you know, a staff is a function there. A staff is a function to carry out the directions of the city council, who is there because we, the people, have elected them. And as soon as you start losing this, okay, we're not going to have an election for a clerk. Okay, I'll just appoint one here. You know, that is, you know, again, it's another, and it sounds like an end run. You know, the thing about it, it's got to be so transparent. And so many things lately have been not as transparent as they should be.
Real quickly, I think if they want an election, let's have an election. Let's put it before the people and do away with this bifurcation or two different positions and make it one elected. Yeah. The elected gets the salary, and then that elected person is our responsibility. If we elect someone that we have to remove, we'll have a recall and remove them. Otherwise, that person is autonomous to the people of Reading and not answering to the city staff.
There you go. Okay. Hey, Gary, thank you so much for your phone call.
Ron, sorry to get in your way.
Okay, fine.
Hey,
bye-bye.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Ron Largent,
and
we'll be right back. And
We've got emails that are coming in for Ron, so we are taking emails this morning. Linda at KCNR1460.com.
It's Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Did you?
Good morning. You're listening to KCNR1460. This is Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bot. 8:14, in case you just are rolling over and going, oh, I got to get up. 54 degrees today. It's going to be a beautiful day, so get up and join in on making things happen. Today's going to be a high of 76. We had an email that came in. Our guest today is Ron Largen.
The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, and they're having a big weekend up here with a Mother's Day weekend.
Absolutely.
And Sunday is, you know, before 3 o'clock, it's filled up, my friends. So if you want to go out there and take mom to a special place or your bride, and gents, trust me, you will not be sorry if you go up there. She will love you. She will forgive all those little things that you've done. You know, the fishing trips, you know, that extra, you know, shotgun that just happened to appear in the closet. You know, for hunting season, trust me, take her out there. They'll treat you great, but you're going to have to make reservations because it is getting, you know, pretty crowded out there, especially on Mother's Day weekend. Do yourself a favor, guys.
Go to the website, KCNR1460.com, click on the icon with the weather, and get a hold of the folks out there. Okay, email came in for Ron Largen. Question for Ron, and welcome back to the show, Ron Largen.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How much true flexibility does the assessor have to change tax rates and tax policy in Shasta County? Isn't it more of an administrative position?
Yes, that's a very good question. And you heard Barbara Albee at the 7 o'clock hour, and the State Board of Equalization, following the lead of the legislature, gives the instructions, and it comes down in very detailed procedures, almost to the day-to-day. They complement their printed publications by what they call letters to the assessor. And these come out on a very regular basis, and it gives the detailed breakdown of almost every issue that comes up. And that's part of the reason that I'm involved, because obviously not being in government, not being a politician, I'm coming from the outside. But what I bring is I bring leadership, I bring a new attitude, a new philosophy of representation for the taxpayer. Much like Barbara said this morning, I'm running it for the people out there. I want to show that they are represented. And the unique part about the assessor's office, like the Board of Equalization, is that we are one of the three offices by state constitution that must be elected, the other being the sheriff and the district attorney. In Shasta County, we elect the clerk and the tax collector and the auditor, but by state law, the assessor must be elected by the people. And the reason is we are the ones that represent the people and their money. So if we're not out there with the taxpayers, we're missing the boat, and we're going really against the law. Because the law says we are the ones that are to represent the taxpayer. And that's where I'm coming at. I'm coming with a different philosophy. I believe that the taxpayer should be foremost in our mind when we make decisions at the county level. And that's why when they pay their money for taxes, they need to be heard and represented. And that's my whole philosophy, that we are in it. We're public servants. They are electing us to do a job to represent them. And granted, the procedures are very detailed, and I'll learn those procedures, but they're very much set up by the State Board of Equalization, as we heard from Barbara at the earlier hour. So my job is to interpret those regulations and the guidelines as it's sent out and put those into effect. But the purpose of that office is to be a representative for the taxpayer.
Okay, Ron. Let's go to the phones. John, you're on line 18.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Dad,
good morning.
Bob, and good morning, Ron. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Doing well, thank you.
I've got a kind of a broad question for you, but I'd like you to address it. Do you feel the campaign has taken on a personality, and what do you see as the true defining nature of the differences between you and your incumbent and the incumbent?
Well, it has taken on a very distinct nature, and I think it deals with my philosophy, which is a philosophy of a total representation of the taxpayer that we should be very, very concerned. When I hear that, as we heard yesterday, that in 2005 and 2006 into 2007, we were in a stagnant housing market, I just basically disagree with that completely. When I hear that taxes are going to be static, as was reported in the paper, I disagree with that completely. We're in a housing downturn. We're in the greatest downturn in the history of modern real estate, certainly, and we're going to continue it for a few years. We, by Proposition 8, we have an obligation, and it says in law, the assessor is obligated on the 1st of January to look at all eligible properties that can have their taxes reduced, and that's in Proposition 8. It's very clearly stated. That's the way I believe. We, as public servants, should be thinking about the taxpayers. They should be foremost in our mind. We should do whatever it takes to enforce that law and make it effective to give the advantage of to our taxpayers. They're paying too much money. So there's a basic philosophy difference, I think, in the two campaigns. I'm coming from a non-government, non-political background. I'm coming from a taxpayer point of view. I'm coming from a business point of view. I'm looking at things from the role of, well, how is the taxpayer viewing this housing downturn? And yesterday was a classic example. I had an interview at noontime yesterday with people whose market value has dropped over $100,000, and yet their assessment is still at the previous high mark. That's not fair. It's going to save them $600 or $700 a year. Those are dollars that could be spent on other reasons right here, other purposes right here in Shasta County. And that's what I'm concerned about. I really think we have to take a hard look at that, and my program is to do exactly that. So that's where it's a philosophical difference more than a personality. It's how you go about leading the office during difficult times.
So accurate property tax reevaluation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's by law required. Proposition 8 lays it all out there for us. Our job is to enforce what the law has said to the advantage of the taxpayer.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate your answers.
Hey, thanks, John, for your phone call. We have to take a break. This is Carl Lindebot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Ron Largent, who is running for the Shasta County Assessor Recorder position. And is drawing the differences between himself and Leslie Morgan, who we had on yesterday, by the way. Carl Lindebot, join us after these messages.
Make plans now to dine outdoors with...
You know, I just love some. I just love some songs. You know, this is one of them. Hey, Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Sorry, my friend.
You
were
going to start harmonizing with me.
I was starting to sing on that one. Hey, our guest is Ron Largent, who is running for the Shasta County Assessor Recorder position. And Ron, you know, from what I understand, you know, from what it looks like, is that the mechanics of the assessor's office is, I mean, very little on that is going to change.
That's
correct. Talking about a philosophy difference between you and the incumbent.
That's correct. It's a leadership difference. I think you had a good question yesterday with regards to the business tax. You know, that's all set down. That's all set down by the legislative acts and enforced and brought down to the county by the State Board of Equalization. All they're doing is applying that locally, and you had a long discussion on it. I'm looking at the big picture. We have to be very sensitive to the times. We are in a very significant housing downturn, and values are going down almost daily, and they will continue to go down. We see this because of the bank-owned properties. As a result, property assessed values are going down, and therefore the assessed value of that property needs to be reduced. And that's a basic approach. And so my whole platform is going to be we're going to be very open. Number one, we're going to address Proposition 8 enrollees and those people that are eligible. We're going to address very aggressively right up front. We're going to make it known. We're going to have a lot of public presence. And then I'm going to institute a very open door policy. I'm going to have a stated open door policy 2 days a week. I'll be in the office at the front desk. If people want to come in, they can come in and see me. I want them to know that we are there to represent them. We're going to be very, very, we're going to look at the law. We're going to be very accurate in enforcing the law, obviously, but we want the people to understand. Secondly, I'm going to be out in the districts. I'm going to be, like, for example, last night I was in Montgomery Creek talking to people out there. I want to hear about their issues. I was talking to a gentleman that lost a great deal of land in the Fountain Fire and on how his property was reassessed after that fire. These are the things that the public servant, the assessor, should be aware of. And I'm not going to wait until an election year to be present. I'm going to be out there starting the day I'm elected. We're going to have a press conference, and we're going to talk about Proposition 8. We're going to be out there in the field.
Okay. Let's go to the phones here. Kathy, you're on KCNR.
Hello, Carl, and hello, Ron.
Hi.
I listened to the program yesterday, and as I recall, Leslie Morgan indicated that the downturn occurred in 2007, and that would agree with the article that the Record Searchlight published in the fall of 2007 with data from the Board of Realtors. But you mentioned a minute ago that the downturn actually occurred in 2005 and 2006.
Well, we have indication that from the actual numbers of sales that the downturn started in 2000. The drop in sales was in 2006, and I'm looking for the actual number. I can give you the actual number that what we found, but the market in 2005 was still going up. In 2006, we saw it starting to drop. We had about a 5% drop in 2006. We then went to almost a 23% drop in 2007 into 2008. So there was a period of time then when it certainly was not stagnant, as was mentioned yesterday. We saw it moving downward. And so the first indication, it was the number of sales. And I'll have those, I don't have them right here immediately, but I'll have them for you. And just as soon as I find my notes here, I can give you the exact number of sales that we were affected by.
Would a lesser number of sales actually equate to lower sales prices?
Well, we have here the average sold price, and the numbers I have in front of me here, the average sales price in 2006 was $323,000, and in 2007 it was $309,000. And those are the actual numbers that started dropping. And you can see that's across the board. That represents 2,267 sales were reflected in that period of time.
But that's an average sale. That doesn't apply to any specific property having gone down. That's just saying that the average of a house is different. That may not be
Kathy, we're going to have to take a hard break here. We're getting a break on Fox News. So why don't you hang on until we get on the other side of that and we can continue this, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, this is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading.
Love that song.
Yeah. 55 degrees currently right now. It's 8:33 in the morning. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bot here on Free Fire Radio. Our guest today is Ron Largent. We are taking your calls, 605-4567. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Going to be high today of 76. Fabulous morning. Right now we are continuing over after Fox News with a caller. You are on the line again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, well, to continue, you ask about the numbers. And let me give you a little background here. In 2004, and these are numbers right out of the realtors' statistics at the MLS. In 2004, we had an 18% increase in the sale price, leading into 2005. In 2005 and into 2006, we had a 2% increase. But then in 2006, we started our decrease, which started out at 5%, went to 17%, and then in 2008, went to 23%. But in the numbers that we received from the assessor's office, the actual number of enrollees in Proposition 8 actually dropped from the 2006 year to the 2007 year, which doesn't make any sense. It went from a number of 1,318 numbers enrolled down to 1,205. That just doesn't make sense, because we had an obvious indication that the values were going up and then they started coming down. And for the,
well,
for
Ron,
the,
I'm looking at an article that you wrote in Reading.com on July 5th of 07.
Mm-hmm.
It says, doomsday scenarios cloud a positive picture. And you're talking here in July of 07 that we're still on a positive note in Shasta County. That would coincide with what Leslie Morgan stated yesterday, and it would coincide with what the Board of Realtors told the Record Searchlight in the fall of 07. So your article, the Record Searchlight article, and Ms. Morgan's statement all seems to say the same thing, and yet you're now saying that things were dropping off earlier than what you stated in the paper in 07.
Well, I think what not only the paper, but most of us in the real estate business did not think that this downturn, the downturn would happen as quickly and last as long. I think at that time we were hearing forecasts that we would be in for a couple of slow years. There's no question about that. But then it got significantly worse, and it became significantly worse because of the financing implications of the adjustable rate mortgages going up on the 3 and 5 year arms, where people all of a sudden had their payments increase, and we started to see a different personality happening in the homeowner. We saw people walking away from homes. We saw bank homes being homes being taken back by the bank, and that changed the dynamics significantly. And I know
in July of 07, you state that it's not a doomsday scenario. We're in a positive picture. And July of 07 would have been too late for the assessor's office to make reductions for January 1 of 07.
Well,
it's not making sense to me what you're stating.
I'm saying that at that time, on the information that we were looking at, we were expecting the market to more level off than it did, and the downturn caught everyone by a surprise.
I'm not sure how relevant it is that you expected it to get better sooner. The reality is, what was it on January 1 of 07? What was it on January 1 of 08? January 1 of 09? January 1 of 10? And I'll agree to disagree with you, I guess, Ron. But I'm thinking that your article and the Record Searchlight article both back up Ms. Morgan's position.
Well, the reality,
okay, Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
No, Ron, you can have.
I appreciate the call there, and I think when we talk about numbers, it's important, but we have to realize that the numbers of properties we were actually enrolled in Proposition 8 was considerably less in relationship to the market dropping during that period of time, and there was plenty of evidence that was going to be happening. But we can talk about it. Kathy, you and I have disagreed on other points, and we will obviously continue to discuss these things.
We have more callers and emails coming in for Ron Largent, our guest today on KCNR. Let's go to the phones. Chris, you're on line one. Good morning.
Yes, this is Chris Andrews. I'm the retired assessor recorder, and just to talk about January 1, 2007 is when I left office. And I left a lengthy memo to the current assessor recorder describing things I thought she ought to be aware of. And one of my very first thing was that I recognized that the market was dropping in mid to late 2006, and then a significant effort would be needed to do Prop 8s on those properties affected. So I was aware of it, certainly, and I left that information for the current assessor recorder. So it may be a little disingenuous to say that nobody was aware that the market was dropping.
Thank you.
And I guess I just leave that as a comment.
All right, so it shouldn't have been a surprise to the assessor when you were leaving it.
That's right. That's what we're finding when we look back at the actual numbers. There was plenty of evidence that things were going to be going in a downward trend.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for your phone call.
Okay.
Let's go to an email here. This is from one of our listeners. Okay, the email reads, I see Ron at various Tea Party events. Are you a Tea Party member? Are you a Republican? And how would you describe your political philosophy, and what impact will that have on you as a job assessor?
Okay, well, in order, I attend the Monday night Tea Party meeting. I attend the Tuesday night Tea Party meeting. I'm a big advocate of the Tea Party movement across the nation. I think it's one of the greatest things that's happened in our modern generation. We have young and old. We have people that are very, very concerned. We are hearing people for the first time, as was reflected by Gary Catt early this morning. We have people that are very concerned, and this is great. This is why I'm involved. I got to a point where I said enough is enough. It's too little, too late. We have to take action, and I'm going to do something rather than being on the outside. The second part of that question dealt with, am I a Republican? Am I conservative? I am a registered Republican, and I'm very conservative. I'm a Reagan conservative. In fact, I helped with the Reagan campaign back a few years ago. I believe that the rights of the individual should be paramount. I believe that public servants should be elected to serve the public. I believe we should be accountable. We should be recognizable. It's like my meetings that I mentioned a few moments ago. I'm out there every day seeing people, and what I'm hearing is that people want their elected officials to be very visible, not come on the scene, 8 months before the election. They want to see them. They want to talk to them. They want to argue with them. And I said, bring them on. That's why we're here. That's why we're elected. We're elected to represent the people. So I'm very much for individual rights. I really believe that our government is way too big at all levels. I'd like to see us look at ways that we can cut back our costs and start with the office. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the office, the staff, and say, folks, how can we do the job better with less? Because whether we want to accept it or not, our revenue in the next few years is going to be decreasing. So we're going to have to tighten our belts. We're going to have to look for efficiency. We're going to have to look for various ways to do the job better with less money. And that's going to be very critical. And that's my approach. We don't need a bigger government now. We need, if anything, we need a more efficient, a more effective, a smaller government. So I'm a small government or limited government type of guy. And now let's see. That was Republican, conservative. What was the last
part
of that?
And how will that affect your political philosophy? What kind of impact will that have on your job as assessor?
Okay, well, number one, one of the factors, I'm going to listen to the people. We have citizens that are very, very concerned, and they have great ideas. I've been finding that over these last 6 months in talking with people. We have a very bright electorate out there. They know what's going on, but they need a voice. And in hearing them, it's very encouraging, quite frankly. That's been the part of this campaign that I've enjoyed the most, is that I've talked to people, I've got to know people, and I find out that they're really interested in helping. So that is going to affect, I'm going to listen to people. When people come in with a complaint about business tax like they did yesterday, I want to hear him. I want to hear his point of view, and maybe he's got a good point of view. Maybe we ought to look at our procedures and say, how can we adapt to help this fellow? At least listen to him. I think that's critical.
That sounds great. Ron Largent is our guest. We are taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460. They'll be coming up right here while we're online. If you've got a question for Ron, or do give us a call, 605-4567. Got to take a break here on Free Fire Radio here on KCNR, clearly News Talk Radio.
A mother's...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
Don't forget about the 39th Annual Shasta Arts Festival and Old Time Fiddle Jamboree that's going on this weekend, May 8th and 9th. It is going to be incredible. Mining Camp reenactors. There's going to be Saturday's the Manzanita Band, Sunday's Jim Dyer Band, and the Weaverville Lion Dancers. Come by and get a coupon. There's going to be free shuttle buses leaving every half hour from Shasta High School, and it's going to be a great art fest. So
wear good shoes. Yeah. It is not flatland out there.
Our guest this morning is Ron Largent. We're taking your calls, and I think we have somebody on the line here.
Greg, you're on line 48 on KCNR.
Line 48?
Well, you know what? We've just got, 40, we've got 50, okay? You were number 48, but we pulled you out of the group because we recognized your name. People calling from all over the world here.
Ah, there we go. Well, thank you very much, Carl and Linda, and hello, Ron Largent.
Hi, Greg. Good to see you last night.
Good to see you, too, and nice to hear you in the studio. And it was fun bumping into Carl and Linda as we were all doing our shopping routine over at Costco. meeting over the books.
Yeah, so. We bought one of those pop-up tents so that we can do the
remotes.
The remote, especially for the cowboy breakfast, pancake breakfast. We're excited about that.
There we go. That'll be cool.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to let folks know, beginning that Bostonian Tea Party will be doing their next event Thursday, May the 13th. However, there has been a little bit of a change in our plans. We discovered that there is another organization, even though ours was long planned, that is on the same day having local candidates meet out in the Happy Valley area. It's the Pride Day organization, and theirs is the 13th. So we're throwing our, in community cooperation, we're throwing our efforts behind what they're doing, asking all of our folks and the Sons of Liberty, and allowing the local candidates to all collect in one place instead of being subdivided between two different locations. We're going to try and drive folks in that direction. It's a little further out, but it's a worthwhile drive. It's about 5 miles from where Canyon Road and 273 meet, basically where the Wind River Casino is. Follow that all the way out about 5 miles, and the community center is just south of the intersection of Palm and Happy Valley Road.
That's on the 13th of May?
That's on the 13th of May, 7 o'clock. Joanna Trannery.
Do you need a GPS to find it?
What's that?
You need a GPS to get out there?
No, it's not that bad. Basically, once you get on Canyon Road, just keep on following it straight, well, as straight as the road will allow you. And it'll take you there.
Okay, got it. May 13th, they're having a, what time does that start?
It starts at 7 o'clock, and it'll run as long as the number of candidates that are there. But hopefully, I believe Ron is planning on being there.
Yes, I'll be there, and I'll take this opportunity to encourage all of the taxpayers to come to these various candidate nights. They're in various locations all over the county. We've had a number of them. They've been very interesting. You get to see the candidates up front. It works out to be a good evening.
Yeah, I think so. I never pass up a chance to see the candidates or listen to them on the only program that gets all of the candidates here, KCNR 1460. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for your phone call. We got to take
You're
a
welcome.
Break.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You bet. Carl on the Bot, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Ron Larkin, who's running for the Shasta County Assessor Recorder position. There's been a lot of, you know, back and forth from guests or from callers and Ron, and we're talking about what Ron is saying, it's a philosophical change, not the mechanical change, because there's only so much you can do in the mechanics of it. But it's the philosophy that the assessor recorder needs to have.
Well, you know, Carl, the advantage that I have is that I've been out there with people talking to people about their real estate values for 35 years. I've been in the real estate business, and I've been sharing their concerns over the last few years, and I've represented some of them as we would go in to talk about issues on assessment. But the fact of the matter is, right now we are in a significant downturn, and we have been, and Proposition 8 is a law that went along with Proposition 13 that addressed this exact time we're in right now. Proposition 13 put a limit as property values go up. Proposition 8 says that when the market value drops, that the assessor is required, and that's my contention, that we have got to be very aggressive, we have to be proactive, we can't sit back, and as the numbers reflect, have 1,200 property aid adjustments in a year. We need to be talking in terms of thousands, and this is going to take leadership. It's going to be difficult because it's not going to turn around quickly, and that's what I bring to the table based on my experience. You don't run a business and allow things to continue when you see trends happening. You've got to make some changes, and that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know, the thing about, and unfortunately, I don't think this trend's going to change for a while about the property values, even though you start seeing, you know, the sales have gone up, but the property values probably haven't, is the fact that every time one of those property assessments goes down, there's more money out of the county than the taxes. And, of course, as you know, then the city is just getting ready to cut, I think, $2.3 million out of their budget. Another $2.3 million.
Exactly.
It's got to have been well over $10 million this year.
Well, and that's another point, that's part of the job of the assessor, is to get with the using agencies, the agencies that receive the money, and talk to them about what's going on in the economy. Talk to them about what's going on with the revenue forecast. You know, there's modeling. There's all kinds of ways that you can come up with these numbers and say, look, we're going to be experiencing a percent drop in the revenue. You're going to have to be prepared for that. I was talking to a special district just a couple of weeks ago, and they got no word of the decrease that they would be probably getting, and sure enough, they got it. So, you know, that's the part of the job that we have to get out there and talk to the using agencies, the agencies that are getting the benefit of the revenue coming in, and tell them, look, we're in this thing for a few years. We may be 3 to 5 years is kind of the national thought right now. And California will probably be the first one to start turning it around.
Are you ready for another question?
Sure.
Another email question we have for you, Ron. Do you think your pro-taxpayer position could put you in conflict with county administrators and the board who need the tax money?
Well, I probably will, quite frankly. That's been mentioned to me. I'm for the taxpayer. Who's electing me? The taxpayer. I'm not being elected by the Board of Supervisors. I'm not accountable to the Board of Supervisors. In fact, I'm not beholden to any group. I'm not asking for any large group or association endorsement. I want to represent the average taxpayer out there. I want to go in front of the supervisors and say, folks, these are the numbers, and this is what the law entitles the taxpayer to. If the law says your property can be assessed downward during these times, then we should enforce the law, and that's what I want to do. So, yes, I'll probably be in conflict with some of the recommendations because I'm going to say the money is not forecast to come in. But I'm the one that's representing the taxpayer, and sure, it'll be tough because the department heads, they don't like to cut back. But the reality is, if the money's not there, we don't have it. We can't spend it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, and it's just off the subject a little bit, people have asked, you know, we try, and we will have everybody that's running for office that, you know, that wants to come on the show. So far, it's been everybody except maybe one. Has wanted to come on our show. And we look at this as we don't take sides, we don't endorse, and anybody who listens to the show knows that. You know, and one of the reasons is that this is our community, and these are our neighbors, and there's nobody running for nefarious purposes.
That's right.
And I truly believe that. Everybody, you know, that there's nobody out there trying to line their pockets or trying to, you know, get ahead for whatever reason. These are again, our neighbors, our friends, our constituent, you know, the people of our community. Anyway, I just want to, you know, we have to reiterate that now and then just so people know. Now, we got like 2 minutes left, Ron. How do they get a hold of you? Where's your next place that you're going to?
Well, I'm going to. I'll be at the Kennedy meetings, obviously. But if they want to get the full story, they can go on the web and see the biography and how I view issues, www.largent2010.com. Excuse me. It's a very user-friendly website. They can call me at 530-941-0444. I've gotten a number of questions already. It's interesting. Excuse me, I need some water. I've gotten a number of questions already that's interesting that people are saying, what can you do to help me? And I say, well, I can't do anything right now, but I'm interested in you. Keep my number. And that's really critical, because I want them to know that I'm out there for them, that I'm there for their benefit, and I'm the voter, the voice of the voter is my goal. But you guys have been great. I think it's great to see all that's going on in the community with this interest. It's very exciting. I really honestly feel that this is going to be one of the most interesting elections, because you've got a number of personalities involved, you've got some good issues, and I'm just looking forward to the next 5 weeks and would encourage everyone to get out there, look at my website, and then vote for Ron Largent for County Recorder Assessor.
Okay. Hey, Ron, thanks for being on. Hey, our guest tomorrow will be Connie Rignell, And we've got another little surprise at 7:30 with our guest. That's going to be interesting, I believe, also.
Thanks for tuning in today. Right now it's 58 degrees, 8:59. We've got to say goodbye.
This is Carl and the Bot. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.